Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the third quarter call of Yduqs. The presentation will be done by our CEO, Eduardo Parente, and by the CFO, Eduardo Haiama, with the presentation of all the other members of the board of directors. We are transmitting this through the RI of the company website, www.yduqs.ri, and we are translating it simultaneously into English. Should you need any assistance, please let us know by typing asterisk nine. Now, this might contain forward-looking statements that are subjected to risks and uncertainties that lead to such expectations to not materialize or substantially differ from expectations. These forecasts express the opinion only of the date they were made, and the company does not undertake to update them in the light of new information. Now, the word is with Eduardo Parente, the CEO of Yduqs. Please, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Georgiana. Once again, I would like to thank you all for being here, and I would like to thank you for being here, at our earnings call. I would like to thank all of our employees that allow us to continue with our very, very strong, our very, very strong year for results. I will start on page three with our opening remarks, talking about the four main key issues here: the solid operations with robust performance in digital learning and medicine. We have levels of growth that we have planned a lot in the pre-pandemic period. The operation is obviously different. A great deal of the students are still in the remote learning, in the digital learning. And we've had a lot of success, thereby using our digital content to bring digital content and elite content to all of our students. Now, on site, on campus, we've seen very big stabilization signs. The ticket is asynchronous, and we are oscillating around what we think is the baseline. And it seems that it's reasonable, and it's still being implemented in the on-campus world. Well, in this quarter, we still had an impact in the revenue. This is very important. I'm talking about the relevant impact with invoices. It's 79 million reais, the effect on revenue that determines that we lower the price. We talked about this in the last quarter, even though we recognize that there is a possibility that we are going to try and find it up ahead. We think that the most transparent way that we can work with this is to not treat this as a litigious thing. So we are not accounting these future receivables, these discounts. Now, fourth, we have a consistent collection and strong cash generation. We've had an update last night, and we are getting your feedback. This is very important for us. So we're looking at the cash generation and our receivables once again. We believe that at the end of the day, it's important for the health of our business. and things are taking place, of course. And we have a communication room, and I thank you if in the end we can talk to all of you. It's a harsh quarter, but it has good numbers if we think about the very challenging environment. Let's go to page 4. So let's talk about the intake. This is our reality that will translate in the, from the previous page to this page. So let's talk about the digital learning. We captured over 50% more students than last year. This is very consistent, and there is an impact in the digital learning. Well, the impact in on campus is the first line that you can see in the table. We had worse numbers than last year, but we need to look at the year-on-year number. And it's very much like last year. It's a strong sign that the market has a trend towards stability. Once the pandemic allows us to go back to quote-unquote normal medicine, we grew, we can see here on the table, or 21% in regards to year-on-year, and we had over 10% more students. Now, let's go to page 5. Page 5, on the left, we have the student base and the distance learning centers. It's important to see this growth that hasn't happened out of the blue right now. When we express and when we grow more than 30% since 2016, this grows, this actually shows the consistency of what we do. Up until now, we have two things that are very important. The first thing, at the bottom, on the left, we have an acceleration in the distance learning centers, and we can see the growth, 241 from 3Q18 to 19, and 636 from 19 to 20. It's a very simple model for the tickets, very easy to be replicated with a good profitability. And we've talked about the stability of last year, and we've invested in quality. We have teachers and professors that are very aligned with a new generation of students and provide quality learning in the digital environment. And it's also teaching for the on-site. And on the digital learning, and we couldn't project this retention rate in any scenario. We've had several analysis showing that there is a boost that is very interesting when we see the quality of life and the quality of learning for the students. And there is an increase of 2 percentage points in this quarter in regards to the previous quarter. Here on the right, we can see the growth here in the CAGR from 16 to 20 of 38%. We have a growth in regards to the previous quarter of over 5%, 176 to 274. Now, I'm going to go back to the number of the 38% very shortly, and I have here on page 6, medicine. And I don't want to repeat myself, but we have a leverage on organic growth. It's the biggest. Well, it's our second biggest growth lever. We have had a lot of growth from the third quarter of 19 to 20 in the student base from 4,000 to over 5,000 students. And we have to look at the expected intake. We have to look at the units that are not so mature. For example, Canindé, we're going to start this year, and we're going to have another 50 by the end of by the beginning of next year. So that generates next year of a growth of 10% in the number of seats. When I look here at the bottom, the 250 seats that I mentioned, these are the ones that we're going to earn next year, besides the 134 seats in the third quarter of 2020. And we hope that next year we will show you the same level of growth or even better in our student base. It's important to remember that we have two units that we've just opened, but the rest is organic growth. We have to invest in laboratory, we have to invest in teachers and everything. But it's not the 1-2 million per seat. While using our growth, it is working. Here on the left, we can see a little bit of that. Medicine has been impacted by the discounts that are related to laws and court decisions. And the 12% here in total revenues is the digital learning. So if you add the 26% in the distance learning, we had 26%. In medicine 12, we've had over 40% of our business, of our revenue actually, in two businesses that have rates of growth that are very strong and are completely stable regardless of the pandemic. Let's change to page 7. I believe that now we are continuing the ideas. When we look at the graphs on the left, we have in dark green, these are the on-campus former FIES students, and we are getting to 21,000 FIES students, and a base that will of acquisitions that grow year by year. And here we have a very clear the overview that we did 3 acquisitions over the last 12 months, all with the results that are 5 times the EBITDA, and this is what we are trying to find. We have to see the potential, and whenever we do M&As, we always take that into account, and this is what we show. We have the 55,000 students that have come to our base from acquisitions over the last 12 months. Some of you did an analysis. I don't remember who submitted this, but the number of students per campus. And it's showing how this is healthy. 95% of our time, we have an EBITDA level that is very good, very satisfactory, as well as the revenue, but this is a very solid operation. And we see that we're getting into new operations through mergers and acquisitions. And here are the things that make sense, really. Here in the middle, we have our renewable base, the former FIES undergraduate students. The number of students that are renewable on the on-site without taking into account FIES, it dropped 3 percentage points, but the fact that we have more students that are former FIES is something good. It's over 7%, and it shows that we've done something good. And here, that number that I just mentioned, that it was just Stasio. We have the former laws and the court decisions. We have an increase in tickets, and then there is a reduction once again. I don't think that we have to celebrate, but this is an indication that everything that we mentioned makes sense. We're looking at this with care. We saw that pre-pandemic, and we see the market working as a whole, and there is an effect. And a lot of people that cannot reproduce this. I'm going to tell you, well, Rayema is going to talk to you about the financial data now. Thank you, Parente. Well, good morning, everyone. Let's go to slide 9. Let's talk about revenue. As Parente has commented in the first slide, we suffered but the quarter because of the court decisions. If it wasn't for that, our revenue had grown almost 30%, 27% year-on-year. And even so, if we remove the acquisitions, we would have grown anyway. One important point showing in the graph is the drop in FEIS students, not only compensated by the digital learning, but as well, we can see the adjustment of the revenue adjustments. We have the poor decisions in medicine as well as the on-campus, which is stable. On the former slide, well, on the next slide, 10, we have the costs and expenses that are under control. In terms of costs, former acquisitions, we have dropped 2% from 633 to 618 year-on-year. And if we had included acquisitions, this would have grown 26%. And here is an important point. On the contrary of the second quarter, where we had a lot of issues with PDD, and we have the financial discount that is proportional to revenue, it's very stable year-on-year. This is very important data that has been highlighted in such a way. Then when we look at the slide 11, the EBITDA, our EBITDA adjusting by the laws, the court decisions, it would have grown 20% without acquisitions, 3% growth. And then this EBITDA, an important point that maybe wasn't clear, and this is a point that we have to highlight, when Parente commented the issue of the opening of the revenue and the importance that medicine and digital learning has in the proportion of the revenue in the big sectors that are growing after M&A, the EBITDA reported would have been higher. The adjusted EBITDA was being higher. So here we have a growth that if we just consider the EBITDA, is higher throughout the years. Let's go to slide 12. In terms of net income and CAPEX, adjusted net income, also adjusted, it's stable. And here it's important to mention the issue of the difference between the revenue that we report today versus the revenue that we had the IFRS 16. IFRS 16 is a mechanic that you have to bring the rentals, but the way that we are working with it is not perfect. It ends up in the first years of the flow, it brings a penalty to the revenue. So the difference of the rent that we've had in the quarter and what we actually reported as an expense between depreciation and financial expenses just in the quarter is 32 million. So it worsened our income in IFRS. Now on the table on the right, CAPEX. And here, more than taking a look at CAPEX and what was really the basis, one point that we've already mentioned, for some revenues, for some earnings calls, is the investment that we're doing for the digital transformation of the company. And just this year, we've had over 70 million invested without taking into consideration the digital content that we are creating. This is a transformation that is very important that has taken place since last year, and it will last for another 2 to 3 years, this investment phase. Slide 13. Now, the collection and cash generation as a whole. As it was mentioned, we understand that our level of provisions is very adequate. when you see it dropped nominally in 3% if we consider acquisitions, but two big assets that you are acquiring, it's normal that this decreases. In regards to the number of days of invoicing, very stable year on year because of the acquisitions, the average receivable days, and here we've generated more operational cash flow before CapEx. In the last year, on the first 9 months, we generated 751 here, 9 months on 2020, 909, and without acquisitions, and with it, we have over 1.031, very healthy. Cash position with the net EBITDA that is at 1.41. Last but not least, on my part, on the acquisitions, just to show you the evolution, the synergies. Up until now, in AdTalent, we have captured in an annualized way. When we see the annual rate, we will see here the 170 million, which is against the expected, which is 230, and we will incorporate 70 million and the big generation will be when we receive the authorization for medicine, and we will make sure that, and I'm sorry, by the end of, by May of 2020, we capture 60 million. By the end of the year, we will capture 70 million. Thank you, Rayama. Let's go to page 16. This is something that we've always knew, and I've never written it down. It shows a little bit more of what I've shown before here in 2015. Half of our revenue was FIES, F-I-E-S. And here in 2020 is only 10%. When we look at the business as a whole, we have in our revenue in the first 9 months of 2020, 35% of medicine, which is something that is very good and it's been growing 20%. Per year. And our on-site grows as we expect. What we have here, we have, of course, the court decisions, but we still will have the impacts in 2021, and it shows that we have a business here, a set of activities and economic activities that are growing 18% per year from 2015 to 2019, the net revenues former CS. These are the two messages. I think that people make good decisions in the past, in 2016, to choose when they chose what would be the business that would substitute PS. I think that distance learning and medicine have been the two things that are generating cash flow revenues that are favorable to allow us to keep capturing synergy so we can continue following up on our business plan. The situation wouldn't be so favorable if we hadn't had chosen these two paths, and we see with everything that Rayana have shown, well, the cash flow that we have, we will start next year without that thing that was still dragging us down. This is good. On page 17, we have here the perspectives on the short term. It's still a challenging scenario. There is an impact of the laws and court decisions that are not ending now, and that's regarding the PDD in Portuguese, which is a bad debt pressuring the results. And we've done a lot of voluntary actions here. Well, a lot of things are taxes. This is not over, as I've told you. It's something that we will still see in the future, but with digital learning and medicine and strong expansion pace. This is the last year of the impact of FES. It's a scenario that is challenging, but since the beginning, the situation has imposed itself. When we were very scared next year that was going to be the year that we would advance very quickly, and we are not launching this as we expected, but the base has grown. We are getting next year in a very solid base. We've gone over 6,000 students that study medicine. We have 250 seats that are completely new. We are taking the elite content to the masses. So we have a positive perspective for 2021. And long term, it changes a little bit more. We continue with the three levers, M&A, capturing the synergies and value generation from recent acquisitions. We need to grow on that. The polls are still growing. The impact of our new polls. We had older polls that are going towards the third, fourth, fifth year. And we are always trying to find good opportunities that make sense and that will add value to our business as a whole. So this is not something that, well, again, we have money, we have a stable financial situation, the robustness of the business, the cash and the organic growth is very strong. And this is what we have for the future. And I wanted to do something very different. We have a team here that we're very proud of, our team. And you don't have the opportunity of interacting with them. We did that last year. So I just say that it was very nice. And this year we couldn't do it because of the pandemic. So maybe we're going to do it next year. And then you will have the opportunity of talking to everyone. But I wanted Adriano to talk to you a little bit more. He is the on-site operations and also digital operations. Well, about the perspectives of the businesses and what they think for the future. Thank you, Eduardo. Oh, good morning. Let me start talking to you about something that Eduardo has already talked about that has to do about the new business model. ARA is, in essence, it's born with completely optimized CVs. ARA has a proposal for the increasing our KPIs for the quality of medicine, not only internal, but also external. We also believe in that because the new teaching model joins the system of digital content that is excellent quality, as it was said before. It's the in-house content, as Rayema has said, the methodology of the teaching that is a national standard for all of our units and also teachers that are ready for distance learning. We are capturing now almost 8,000 teachers in this new teaching methodology. And this is the new model that is great. Today, over 6,000 classes being offered completely in this model that service more than 100,000 students, basically all of our students that started in 2020, and not only with the brand Estacio, but also the brands that were acquired. As we verified it, there is an increase in the satisfaction of our students. We are still not able to measure because we've just implemented this model for improving teaching, but the indicators of satisfaction have been considerable. Obviously, it was a series of initiatives that we've taken in the company as a whole, but our indicator of quality, NPS, has reached the best historical data in the history of the company. And the most important thing is that the big impact of these indicators are from the first year students, where we improved over 40% the indicator of NPS over this year, which increases the durability and the time that the students remain with us, and it shows that we are going down the right path. On my part, this is it. Thank you very much. Now, how do we do? Good morning. Thank you. Let me talk about a project where we've taken a very important step. It's our project for the polls, the partner polls, but it's a standardization that seeks to have an operation that is healthy for the polls and a better service for the students. It's a project that has a reduction in costs, but it's much more than that. We start to have a full control of the planning, of the profitability of these polls. And we have an internal consultancy area that we've just created with these polls or distance learning centers. And here we want them to have a healthy financial life throughout our expansion. And this has two main objectives. Now, we have an increase in basis. Here we have the number of centers, and that we keep expanding faster and faster. With this model for the centers, we have a lighter operation, and we help our partners more and more. And in a different situation, maybe we couldn't work with a distance learning center. This is continuous, and we've taken a very good step this year. We've left the operations more streamlined, and we believe that we are going to get to the 2,000 distance learning centers that we projected in the past, in the next year even. This is a very important project for us, for the continuity of our growth. I believe that was it. Thank you, Haroldo. Now, I'm going to talk about the perspectives for medicine and IDMEC. We can see that there is a very important impact. As Eduardo had said, we've had a big potential for the growth, for the base in an organic growth. A lot of our operations are still taking place. So if we consider the 1,400 seats that we have authorized, we can, throughout the years, we can almost double this with the authorizations for the MICE medicals. We can also increase the space. We have a very experienced team with the operation of medicine for enabling these seats. And we've had a lot of success with the new operations. And it brings us a lot of trust. We are really on track, and we will deliver the program that we're presenting to you, and we will make the revenue grow a lot in the next years. Medicine is very resilient throughout the pandemic. We've had a good commercial. We've fulfilled 600 seats. It was performance that was above what we expected. Renewal was higher, slightly higher than the previous quarter. So as a whole, it was a very strong performance. All of that creation of YDUS, of a new area, new operations, is very aligned with a focus on the student. And we've talked about that with a commitment with the experience of the students. So we can have a higher education solution for all audiences. You saw that we had the court orders, and I think that medicine was a segment that was very impacted. And we had a lot of proximity with the students. We want to treat the students in a differentiated way, taking care of them and strengthening our position, not only for medicine, but others. For example, IDMEC. And in the In the case of Ivimec, we've had a very positive result. São Paulo is an operation that runs very well, that is maturing, and it's growing strong. Belo Horizonte is very strong, and Rio de Janeiro is a place that we have to take care, and we are strengthening the operation so we can finally start to work with the operations. We've brought people that have experience to make this happen. In general, these are very positive results, and we believe that these will be fundamental for the future growth. Ladies and gentlemen, we will start now with a Q&A session. Should you have any questions, please type *9. If you want to remove your question, type *9 once again. Please wait while we are collecting the questions. Our first question is from Paulo Santos from JP Morgan. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for accepting my question. First, I wanted to talk about the point that Adriano has said about the new academic model that was completely optimized. You have the 40% of distance learning that is allowed for the campus. And I know that we are in the pandemic, so people are not spending a lot of time in the classes. But as you are gaining margins and people are going back to class, would you review the tickets? Can you comment that, that 40% with the distance learning? This is the first question. Second question is the admission exam, given the pandemic, and how would you work with the NM exam here as well? Marcelo, thank you. In regards to the Aura CV, we've had the 40% that is allowed. 40% is distance. And not only that, we have the optimization for the minimum time and practical activities and the context as a whole. And it's important. In Estácio, we've operated in a very optimized way, but in the acquired unit, no. This becomes a very big lever for capturing synergies. And we can, in the middle of the year, at the turn of the quarter, all the units that are widened, we would lead to the capturing of the synergies. And we expect that the operations we will have an improvement in the imaging with the advancement in the student base. In regards to the second point, which is vestibular and the NM exam, the admission exam in Portuguese is vestibular. The test is something that we are taking a lot of attention, and we've had a lot of initiatives to see what would be the delay in the NM exam. So we can capture the enrollment before the process of the NM test. And we hope that this is going to be, we're expecting this to be a little bit later than the previous years. Thank you. Our next question comes from Mr. Leandro from Citibank. Hi, good morning, everyone. Thank you. Well, the first, if you can talk a little bit more about the strategy of questioning the legality of the discounts, how it's progressing, and what do you expect as an impact for the next years, for the next months, actually? Will this decrease with time? That would be the first question. And the second one, and here is the comment with a new CV. Do you see an opportunity of doing an adjustment with the structure at the end of the year, mainly for teachers? if you can tell us a little bit more how you met this. I think that would be it. Thank you. Well, do you want to work with the first one? Hello, Parente. Good morning. The main impact has been in Rio de Janeiro by Procon and the public defensorship. We are working with Procon to try and find an agreement. We're expecting to resolve this at the short term and closing this dispute in the judicial context. We've talked about competencies at the regional and federal level, and we hope that we have a better direction in regards to this issue. Well, I'm going to go to the second part. I think that the phase of the big adjustments was left behind. We still have some big adjustments in regards to performance. Everything that is better for the student, for teachers. Obviously, when we look at the past, we will have the synergies that we need to capture. Well, we are always talking about SKUs. And we see the margins of operations of our partners. And we will take the actions in regards to all the evaluations that will take place in this sense. If at any time we realize that there is any specific drop in a course or the capture of the student base, well, in a structural way, we don't see a lot of changes. But if we have any type of offerings, any type of SKUs, we will see a drop in the base of students. I don't know if I'm answering the question correctly. No, yes. Just one more point in regards to the discount. When the student comes back, when a court order is dropped, well, that might be a point of friction. How are you preparing the return of the judicial disputes in the future? Well, we don't believe, well, we will try and discuss the proclise once again. We will analyze on a case by case. These are very specific points. And up ahead, there is a big impact in medicine. We have a relevant discount in a very high ticket. It's a very big impact for us. We don't see a point of friction up in the future. Thank you, Eduardo. The next question comes from Mr. Samuel from BTG Pactual. You may proceed. Mr. Samuel, please verify your telephone. Can you hear me? Well, good morning, everyone. These are two very important points. first, a very detailed question. Well, we have the analysis of the pro forma. We see here, I wanted to understand a little bit more and just to have a little bit more granularity on the numbers. And the question is about the price of the distance learning. You have a strong strategy for growth in the distance learning. And you commented that we are going to get to 2,000 centers. Almost 1,500 centers. Well, do you think that the distance learning, have we reached the bottom of the price of the monthly ticket? Thank you, Samuel. Rayana, if you see the main line that we have here, it's in the part of contingency, which is normal. It's just that in general, this was stable. We look at expenses in the company in regards to the year on year, the year before. And the issue of pandemic, in terms of cost, it's almost nothing. The main cost that we've had was on the year, the increase of the bad debt. But all of them are oscillating very little. There isn't any specific effect. But we can talk about this later. But also here, you talked about the prices. What we see is that we saw the competition dropping the price. In the previous periods, we didn't see a lot of changes, but we can see a drop. This slider here. What we do is in the trade-off in the base of the ticket. We maximize the revenue given that this is, the capturing cost is not that high. We signal the trade-off and we have to take into consideration that our margin is much higher than a big deal of the competition for a non-listed company. So given our margin, we can work with the drop in prices that the competition is doing. Thank you. Our next question is from Freddy Mendes from Bradesco. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for the call. Well, I believe that this is more specific in the cost part. In working with the centers, it tripled. I understand that with the distance learning, this is increasing. Is there anything else that we didn't capture here? And the second thing, also working with the discounts and the core decisions, the value for the discounts has increased more than the net revenue. So I just wanted to understand how is the strategy from the future. Of course, this is a specific moment, but how is the strategy of the company in regards to this? Well, I'm going to answer this very good. Well, talking about the page 4, we've seen the growth with the partner centers. Remember, we started with our own centers, and now we're working in the smaller and medium cities with the partner centers. This growth is coming from a partner, and you have sharing the profits, of course. And just to complement here, we haven't increased those numbers. There is an issue of mix, and what we worked with about the operational model is that we are trying to reduce the cost of the center so that we don't increase the values that we are working. Working with a core structure is important. Hi, Emma. Can you repeat the second question?
Sure.
I think that the second one is more understanding when I look at the discounts and the scholarships with the court decisions, yes. Well, this, what happens here? We were analyzing the quarter, and when we looked at our ticket increasing, I think it's very nice. We're finally getting to what would be at the bottom of the well or the onside, and we are expecting. And here, there are details of the results to our big capture. We had an intake that was very interesting of SKUs of higher tickets, as well as in the capture, which is where we can get the biggest value of scholarship in the first semester. When you look at the average scholarship, it's not, it gets diluted, but it was a good surprise. We capture students from courses that, in fact, we had higher tickets. And the scholarship is a little bit higher in the first semester. Thank you very much.
The next question is from Mr. Vinicius Ribeiro from UBS.
Good morning. Two questions. A little bit simpler. Well, you commented about the investments in medicine, so we can improve the experience of the student. But I wanted to know if in the margins, have you seen an improvement in the ticket for the incoming students, or this is going to be something for the future? And a little bit about the consolidation process that we are discussing. Obviously, you followed up on that. But the capital allocation, does it make sense for us to see an expressive change when we think about your M&A strategy? Or do you have a position that is more privileged in the on-site and also distance learning? If you can comment on those two points, and does that change, how do you see these two dynamics? The opportunities for M&A with the bankruptcy that we see in the market.
Regards to medicine. In fact, we see that, and we are really focusing in the students and the experience of the student. We've had the opportunity of readjustment the ticket for the first year. And once again, that happened in the middle of the year. I think that there is a journey for the improvement of that experience, and we will continue to get the profits in the future. Let me continue. Sorry, I was on mute. The issue of medicine, we had an increase in the ticket that is very relevant. Obviously, we launched the campus on Tuesday, and 3 days later, we had the lockdown decreed here in Rio de Janeiro.
And we have to be close to the students in medicine. We have to hear the students so we can have a productive environment. But we clearly see that there is a movement for the increase of the ticket. And this is completely within the projections that we've done. The M&A strategy, and just to be very clear, we would like to keep expanding. We did offerings that we didn't find that it was very aggressive. That was done very responsibly. We want to work to get to an EBITDA that is good and that we think that is responsible. And the offering that was done was based on that. We lost to the competition. That was very aggressive. We didn't want to lose that, but it happens. Obviously, it's a bad feeling because it's a very traditional company, very good. And we had the opportunity to do a good growth. We talked about this wouldn't be an easy acquisition, but we would have liked to have done it. But okay. There's 4 or 5 M&As in the pipeline. And the idea is to return. You talk about the bankruptcy. There are companies that are difficult. There is the increase in the working hours, and these will show up ahead. Would you like to add anything else just to complement? Well, talking a little bit more broadly about M&A, what is important? What Parenti was commenting about the process, all the processes that we take place. Of course, you price with all of our levers. Well, this growth that you see in the distance learning that is growing organically 40%, we grow with what makes sense, as well as with the operational proficiency, Aura, and everything that we are developing. From the competitive standpoint, to take a look at M&A, we're still going strong. We have levers that are very strong in the part of the value. Obviously, it will be a case-by-case scenario. And these are markets that probably, given the liabilities, well, we will absorb the students. And we will have to generate the liability that cannot be managed. And we believe that we are very competitive. Everything that we have to add. Thank you for your answer. Because of the time, we are closing the Q&A. And I would like to give the word to Mr. Eduardo Parenti for the final considerations. Okay. We have a fantastic team that has a lot of discipline. Sometimes we seem to repeat ourselves with medicine and distance learning and M&A, but this is it. We have a plan, we're sticking to the plan, and we have a lot of organic growth. And we are really working, and the operation is growing a lot. It's a very challenging year. next year?
Well, maybe this is not what we've dreamed about, but certainly this is a year that we still look in a very positive perspective. Of course, we've learned a lot with the pandemic. I think that the learnings remain. New products and new ways of teaching to our students. Thank you for your trust and I bid you farewell. The teleconference of YDESK is closed. Thank you for your participation. Have a wonderful day.